It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you grow your e-commerce business faster and more efficiently by cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and guidance from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello, Masterplan world. Welcome to our latest podcast. It is, as it always is, a pleasure to have you listening. I'm Chloe Thomas, creator of the E-commerce Masterplan, author, speaker and consultant, and I focus on e-commerce business strategy and marketing. Last week, we heard from Julia Lowe of Farm Toys Online about how to build a brand when you're not selling your own products. Today, for the first time, we have a returning guest on the show. The last time I spoke to Dave Rothero, he just launched two subscription e-commerce businesses in just 6 months. They're called Lick My Dip, which is dip as in dipping things, and Cheese Posties. 8 months on, it's all going well, and Dave's moved to Spain, and the businesses are continuing to grow fast. So, hello, Dave.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Yeah, hot.
Yeah, just so everyone knows, we're actually recording this in July during that heat wave we had in the UK. So it's almost as hot here in Cornwall as it is where Dave is in Spain right now. So it's going to be quite bizarre considering we're all going to be listening to this in deepest, darkest November. Anyway, enough of that. Dave, I've just given our listeners a quick overview of you and your business and where you're at right now. So how have things been going since we last caught up?
Really good, yeah. I mean, it's been kind of a constant learning curve the whole time, really, you know. And I mean, just getting better and better, really. Obviously, you know, as you mentioned, I've had the opportunity to move up to Spain. Basically, I figured that I was doing everything from my lounge in Woodford, which was as pleasant as it was. I figured I could be doing it from somewhere, well, anywhere in the world. So I moved out here. Here I am, just running everything from behind the laptop. It's sort of exactly the same story, really, just from somewhere a bit more attractive and a bit warmer.
Was that difficult doing the move, or was it literally just a case of, from the business point of view, was it just a case of shutting the laptop down on one day, getting on a plane, and opening it up the next in a different location?
It was relatively straightforward. I mean, there were certain things which I knew I had to get in place beforehand. Anyway, I mean, I'd already moved all of my fulfillment a long time ago to a company up north in Durham, who are really reliable. I know that they can look after everything, let me know if there's problems, issues with stock at all. So I mean, it literally was a case of everything that I did was from behind my laptop, so I can communicate with customers and still kind of keep it a relatively regular working day. But yeah, I mean, super simple, really. It's super simple, like really nice lifestyle out here, cheapest chips, you know. No regrets.
Excellent. Well, that's got, I'm sure that will have got a few of us thinking about where we're ending up.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Lick My Dip today, aren't we, rather than cheese posties, because there's a bit more to talk about there. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, and apologies to everyone, we're not going to be talking much in the way of numbers because Dave operates in quite a competitive marketplace. So we're going to allow him to keep all that under wraps. But suffice to say, you can trust me when I say it's going very well and there's going to be lots of good tips for you today. So are you continuing to focus on the UK market?
I focus entirely on the UK market, but I mean, worldwide customers tend to come in at their own accord, really. I mean, like all of our marketing efforts are UK based, but I mean, because of the nature of what we do, it's British produce. So I'm kind of hot sauce addiction is like a worldwide thing. So there's we get a lot of subscribers in the US, where obviously there's a much bigger market, but the real kind of hardcore fans want to sample stuff from further afield. So then what we offer for them is kind of ideal because it's kind of a really cost-effective way to get hold of products which they can't get otherwise. A lot of the companies that we feature don't actually ship to the US at all. So we kind of we're opening up that to them as well. And then we get subscribers. We've got quite a few subscribers now in Asia, in Japan, and further afield. Because it's such a niche thing, it's kind of like it makes a really interesting company because it's kind of the customer acquisition is something which has been probably the most difficult thing for me to master. But I mean, once you kind of got it and once you've built up what you kind of talk a lot about in your book, actually, Chloe, about the customer master plan, of kind of building that journey for onboarding people and creating a relationship, then what we've achieved is like this really loyal customer community online on Facebook and by email. where they kind of police themselves, and kind of it's quite a fun sort of little online thing.
It's always nice, you know, it's great to see that that kind of stuff is making money for you, but it's also quite good that you've got somewhere, something fun to do that is work. It's like, great.
No, absolutely, yeah.
I think I'm going to go and hang out with the guys for half an hour. It's quite a nice angle of that private customer Facebook group. And it should be fun, shouldn't it? Because it's that key part of the business. But you mentioned you're using what's within the book, Customer Manipulation, which is that customer master plan model. And clearly you've got as far as stage five, if you're building those groups. Have you found it's been, to get the customer acquisition right, has been more a case of looking after and listening to the existing customers, or about getting the marketing right to pull new people in?
Absolutely. I mean, probably about 6 months ago, I'm trying to figure out in my head exactly the timeline, but there was a stage when I realized that the kind of outward facing marketing efforts that I was doing were relatively insignificant compared to what I could do if I focused on my existing customers, mm-hmm. listened to what they wanted, communicate with them, build this community where they kind of constantly fed back, not just directly to me, but between each other as well. So you can get like a really good balance of what people like, what people don't like, and it's honest because it's not directly to you. And then kind of improving the product and service for them. And then the kind of magical thing is then your marketing costs start to fall dramatically, and your customer onboarding starts to skyrocket, you know. And the quality of customers you're getting a hell of a lot better, because they all come from direct recommendations. People have received their box to work, and you know, their friends have shown, or subscribers have shown their friends, and then, you know, they've got that direct recommendation, which is so much more powerful than a banner ad or a Facebook ad, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's like every little tweak and change you make improves the conversion rate, which has such an impressive impact on marketing spend and ROI and all the rest of it. But you mentioned in there about the parcels, and we had, at some point last year, we had Sebastian from Honey Tree Publishing, who was saying that one of his greatest mark, and no, sorry, for everyone listening, they do personalized stationery, so wedding invitations and those kind of things. And he said one of the most powerful things they did was having heavily branded parcels. So when the parcel arrives in the office, no one is in any doubt about where it came from. So have you done something like that with your parcels, or is it more just about, you know, encouraging people to tell people?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, well, actually, interestingly enough, what you say about when it actually arrives, that was something we had to combat pretty early on, because when we first started shipping the boxes out, they were plain. Head up to our website, you can see our original white boxes are really bold, and they, you know, there's a huge logo on the top with the name of the company, Lick My Dip, so that immediately gets people looking and thinking, you know. And then on the side it says subscription parcels, all very bold, all very obvious what it is, and we actually got quite a few parcels going missing. And then as soon as we actually started wrapping them in black postal bags, then they all started to arrive again. So I don't know where exactly they were going. I don't want to point any fingers to any potential delivery companies, but no names mentioned.
Oh my word!
But yeah, I mean
that's crazy. So because your brand is so attractive, putting it on the outside of the boxes was a problem.
Apparently so.
I love that.
Yeah,
and I know, like a lot of jewelry businesses and businesses which sell expensive products, you know, with a really high resale value, will avoid having the name of their business on anything that's that could get stolen. You know, you keep it under wraps, the fact that this is a parcel full of silver and gold jewellery. But for chutneys and chilies, I find that quite crazy.
I take it as a compliment, you know, but I mean, that said, then, I mean, the actual unboxing experience is something that we focus really heavily on. So, I mean, once that black coastal bag's off, then, yeah, I mean, the brand is really bold. And then I've done a hell of a lot of work on kind of improving that and refining it since we last spoke. So also, something which I didn't mention, which has been the biggest key thing for us, is that we've introduced the new bigger Ultimate box, which is kind of a premium version of the box. So basically, you get more than twice the amount of stuff for $24.99. And that's been huge, you know, not just for the kind of the margins that we're getting, but also for the unboxing experience. You know, people who are part of our community already and are enjoying the experience and have kind of got on board and are that kind of the loyal customer that you talk about, then they wanted more stuff, you know, and we can provide it to them quite easily, you know, in a nice bigger box, much better presented, and then we can afford to kind of to get more kind of elaborate products in there, which we wouldn't be able to fit in the $12.99, the original box price.
Is that not be able to fit in terms of the physicality or in terms of the financial margin of it all?
A bit of both, primarily the financial margin. I mean, the thing about premium spicy products is quite often they use kind of really rare breed chilies, which are expensive, and therefore, you know, and plus because of the small batch nature of the products that we provide, they are quite expensive, and therefore, I mean, with the premium, the original box, which we've now renamed the Taste, we rented the Taste box, which is now kind of a sampler of the products that are inside the bigger premium. That kind of has three products, which are kind of quite open to kind of all tastes, and then the ultimate box tends to have at least another three or four products, which are usually hotter and more kind of more niche, more expensive products as well.
Excellent. So you've restructured it. So you've got that Taste box to get people hooked and allow people to have that easy trial. And then if they're really properly passionately into chilies, you can now look after them with the ultimate box. So there's somewhere for people to go within the subscription model.
Precisely. I mean, kind of the way I see it is kind of like a tripwire sales product, if that makes sense, you know. So I mean, the kind of, just for anyone who hasn't heard the term tripwire sales page, that's basically an internet marketing term for when you get somebody to buy a very low ticket product, usually an electronic product, and then upsell them later on down the line, either immediately or within a few days or weeks. So I mean, that's basically what we're doing with the Taste box. So it's kind of like a sampler, and then in the box we actually put the same flyer, so the inbox flyer that explains about the products, what's in each box. We've got the same flyer listing all the products in the smaller box as well. So they read through and see what they've got, and then also see what they could have had. And then it says at the end, upgrade today for £5 off your first ultimate box. And then, I mean, that's it's just kind of part of our sales funnel in a sense now, you know, just an extension of the sales funnel, which is working really well.
First off, I'm very glad you explained Tripwire, because I know there was a lot of people going, what on earth is he talking about? I thought we were talking online marketing. So that's good. And it, you know, you explained it really well about that, you know, the product to get someone in the door. Because once someone started buying from you, they're then more likely to buy again. That's the key thing with the Tripwire. And I love that tactic. So rather than print two sets of leaflets, which obviously is more cost, more time and all the rest of it, you just print the same leaflet that's got everything you need, everything that's going in the ultimate box, with a call to action to buy the ultimate box, and put that in the Taster box as well. So you're saving money and time on print, but you're also getting that call to action in there in quite a soft way of, well, this is what you'd have got if you'd have upgraded. Playing on that whole fear of missing outside.
This is exactly, and it works in tandem with the online community as well, because most people, when they sign up, get involved in the online Facebook community, and then not only are they seeing the box, kind of, you know, the logos of what they would have had and an explanation of them, also then they go onto the Facebook page and they see what everyone else has been doing with the products, and they kind of, we eventually wear them down, Chloe, don't they? They fold.
But in the right way.
Absolutely, yeah. No, this is the thing, you know, because I mean, the nature of kind of selling online for me is kind of, the beauty of it is you can reach obviously a worldwide market and get all these kind of these products out to super niche taste people. But I mean, it's actually getting people on board, communicating to them online in a way which they kind of understand that what we offer them is actually really valuable, you know. So I mean, any way you can do that is, at the end of the day, it is obviously their choice whether they upgrade or not. But I mean, it's for me, it's just a case of communicating the value that we do actually provide to people, you know, in an honest way, with a little bit of elbow twisting.
And are you still focused entirely on the subscription sale, or are you doing one-offs as well now?
One-offs we do, we've actually upgraded our one-time deal to Shopify so that we can manage it a bit better, and I mean, that's fantastic. It's the first time we use Shopify, it's incredible. It's so powerful. But I mean, that's only really for selling off surplus stock, and also quite a few people, when we featured a hot source from a brand, then quite a few of our members are asking about what else they do, so then we started to buy and sort additional sources from those ranges to sell there to kind of add some value. And then also another tactic which I've been using, which has been converting relatively nicely, is to sell one-off boxes on Amazon. So kind of specialty boxes, which you usually go and think as gifts, you know. And then within those boxes, including a little flyer to explain about the subscription service. So it's kind of like using a sales channel as a marketing channel, if that makes sense.
Oh, nice. I like that. So you were on Cratejoy before, I seem to remember. Was it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're still using Cratejoy. That still manages the subscription element of everything. And then we just got a Shopify store set up in a different subdomain.
Wow, so you've got essentially two separate e-commerce businesses on the go within Lick My Dip. As some would see it.
Precisely.
And that's been worth doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes sense because it means that we can, I mean, now that we've got this online community where we've got all these other subscribers, then they're sitting there waiting to buy more stuff from the company, you know, and they're asking to buy more stuff. So, I mean, it's daft not to kind of to capture those sales throughout the month when we're not selling subscription boxes.
Well, and presumably it also gets you slightly better deals with the suppliers and better relationships with the suppliers because you're able to take more stock.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's the suppliers really see it as a big incentive for them because, a big advantage to them, not just to be featured in the box, but also in the store. Because, I mean, as I mentioned earlier on, a lot of these guys aren't geared up to ship worldwide, so we can do that for them with our shipping services. And also, our boxes every month go off to various reviewers within the chili, hot sauce, spicy niche. So kind of included within the wholesale order which we're taking from them, it is also reviews to the exact audience they're after, you know, which would be quite difficult to get otherwise.
Wow, so you're sending out review boxes every single month?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really integral. It draws in a hell of a lot of new kind of cold traffic as well to people within the niche and also to subscription box reviews as well. There's a few in the US and UK.
I assume that, you know, you're sending some to the same people every month, but there's probably quite a growth in terms of the types of food bloggers you could be sending it to and the types of subscription box reviewers you could be sending it to. So it's probably somebody fresh to send it to every month, I would have thought.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, there's requests that come in every single day. I mean, you kind of get to that point after
really?
A month or so that people are always requesting new boxes. But I mean, it goes from kind of people who've launched a YouTube channel and have zero followers and no videos and want free stuff. So people who really do have like a powerful following. And I mean, if you can harness that, I mean, it's really, really powerful because it's the same kind of referral as a friend, you know, like the relationships that these influencers build up online is very, very powerful, you know, and that's why they can kind of leverage that to get free stuff and get paid.
So that's, do you do a fair amount of, For all the people who email in and going, can I please review one of your boxes? Do you do a fair amount of research to see if they're worth sending it to? Or do you still send it to the guy who's just started up his YouTube channel?
So there's a few things which I do, and it's relatively easy to decipher whether they're worthwhile or whether they're trying to scam you. So if somebody sends their blog through, then I'll take the URL and put it into a tool called SimilarWeb.
I personally love SimilarWeb. I think it's an awesome
tool.
It's very useful. Just the free stuff is brilliant. But anyway, carry on.
No, precisely. I mean, that's fantastic. You can tell exactly like how much traffic they're getting and where the traffic's coming from and whether it's real traffic or not. And then quite often people will come through from Instagram as well because we focus a lot on Instagram for marketing. So, I mean, it's worth then looking not just at the follower count because obviously people can buy followers, but the interaction on the page as well and the interaction on the post. So how many likes, how many comments and whether they look valid. You can pretty soon get an idea. We have had a few YouTube claims come through recently. So people who say, you know, this is my channel and they link to their channel or they link to a channel with 40,000 followers and it turns out that they're not actually that channel at all. So that's definitely something to bear in mind. So, yeah, you have to be careful. But, I mean, it's definitely worth filtering through and separating the wheat from the chaff because it is so powerful when you hit the right one.
And now that you're about 12 months into the business, are you finding that the majority of the review boxes you're sending out are to people who you've tracked down or to people who've requested them?
Probably a relatively even mix, to be honest. I mean, the more effective ones, the very effective ones, I tend to find myself because they if they've got such a big following, they tend to kind of, they don't really have to try too hard. People come to them and they mm-hmm. get a constant stream of stuff. So I mean, quite often you have to incentivize them with affiliate programs as well. But I mean, you never know. I mean, there's a couple of guys actually review my box every single month, and because they're right in the niche and, they've got a really good relationship with their followers, then they get free boxes and affiliate, payouts every month, and they continue to bring in a steady stream of very good loyal subscribers.
It's because I guess part of what makes someone to take that step to becoming a paying customer is that they really want something that's in this month's box. So the more people you've got unboxing it and talking about it, the more every taster box has three different products in it. So each of those three products is another chance to get someone on board, which I totally get works with the reviews, but I'm guessing you probably tease people with what's coming up in the Instagram feed as well.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, try not to give away too much, because we get review products through all the time, you know, so, and they're all very, very good, and quite often from the US as well. So, I mean, Instagram is absolutely for kind of teasing what's coming up, but also teasing the potential followers with what's just been in this box. So, you know, again, like kind of what you've missed sort of thing.
So is it, and this might be me showing my naivety when it comes to subscriptions, is it, say the subscription box mails on the first of the month, is it only people who've paid up till the end of the previous month who get that one? Or is it a case of we've mailed it and there's 10 left? If you sign up now, you'll get this one?
We don't actually market that yet, but that's a very good idea, Claire.
So currently, it's the former. If you're on the list, you'll get it. Sign up now and you'll get next month.
Currently, it's kind of halfway between and a little bit of a manual process. So obviously, when putting in the order with each supplier, you have to order, you know, X percent over to accommodate for growth in the period between order and delivery. So I mean, that surplus stock, then we offer to new subscribers as they come in. So it's actually the 22nd of the month is the cutoff. So after people after that cutoff, if somebody signs up on the 22nd or the 23rd, 24th, if we've still got boxes left, then yeah, we'll deplete them because that's good for them. It's good for us. It means that we don't have stock hanging around.
That's a nice bonus as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And it means that people aren't waiting the whole month to get their first box.
Yeah, it's like you missed the deadline, but we've managed to fit you in. Congratulations.
Yeah, precisely, yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay, well, Dave, we've spoken about a lot of stuff and you've been incredibly good giving us lots of tips and tricks, but what do you think is the most awesome thing about Lick My Dip at the moment?
As kind of touched on there, I think it's the community, you know. And I mean, every day it kind of surprises me with new things, kind of new advantages which I haven't noticed before. For example, customer service. I mean, somebody goes onto the community, asks a question, and then four or five people chip in and answer them, you know, about shipping or about delivery or about what to expect, this kind of thing. So I mean, that's like really, really valuable for me, you know. Even if it's a little bit of work off my hands, you know. And also the fact that we're still one of a kind, really, you know. We're there's quite a few hot sauce subscriptions in the States now, probably mm-hmm. about four or five of any kind of real impact. But to the best of my knowledge, we're still the only people actually shipping a balance of sauces, snacks, cooking ingredients, chilies, powders, all these kind of things, you know. So I think that kind of makes it really exciting for the people who subscribe, and I think that's why we still get a lot of US traffic as well,
and a lot of passionate customers too.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so what's on the radar for the next few months?
So at the moment, like I'm actually starting to look more at Google retargeting. So I mean, that's kind of paid marketing, pay per click, and stuff is something which I've toyed with in the past. And as I've kind of suggested, it's been far more effective to focus on what we do with our existing customers and to bring in traffic like that. But I mean, Google retargeting just started about a week or so ago, and it's starting to bring in some great results already. So those people who are getting referred by their friends and aren't necessarily ready to buy, then we're just kind of carrying on that kind of nudging sequence to them automatically, which is really effective.
Excellent. So, mm-hmm. Well, I just love the way that hopefully everyone can take this if they listen to your first interview with us and then this one as well, is that the way which you're getting one bit right and then you're working on the next bit, and then you're slowly layering up these different marketing tactics. As each one gets optimized, you're then looking for the next one. And it's such a straightforward yet very powerful way of building the business. And you're covering off every aspect as well. It's not just about the marketing, it's about the product, it's about the customer service, it's about the platform. But it's whatever the next thing is that needs fixing is what you're looking at.
Definitely. I think it's really important to kind of be honest with yourself in these things as well, you know, to kind of like look at things, analyze them, and like really kind of, as much as it's quite fun to do something, like say it's quite fun to set up Facebook ads all day, like if the ROI isn't there, like, I mean, just you got to scrap it and move on to something else. And the faster you do that, the better, obviously, you know.
I love that as a quote. If the ROI isn't there, scrap it and move on to something else. On that note, we're going to move on to the top tips round. And we all love this section because it gives us some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So Dave, first up, your book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast took Friday off to read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
So going back to my move to Spain, this is a book I actually read a while ago, but acted on more recently, The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. Do you know it?
I do. Yes. It's a great book.
So, I mean, it's fantastic. It was not just kind of a push over the edge for me to move out here, but also even if you just look into kind of optimize what you do, and kind of cut down the amount of hours you work on one thing so that you can spend them doing something else, something more effective, then this is definitely worth a read. I mean, basically Tim Ferriss, his ethos is to hack everything, you know, and to optimize everything and to find a way around any problem to kind of make it better, you know. So in that respect, he kind of talks about not only ways to reduce the amount of time you work so that you can be more free to do other things, but also how to kind of manage your time a lot better, to schedule stuff up, to batch things together. I mean, definitely just like don't listen to me, just go and read it. definitely it'll change the way you work.
Excellent. So the traffic top tip next then. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
So I still focus really on Instagram. It's less of a direct marketing channel in my mind and more of an awareness channel to kind of catch customers on the kind of their periphery so that they kind of become aware of us and then gradually kind of build a relationship with them. It's a really good kind of low friction way to kind of start to gain a bigger following.
Carry on, Dave, after you.
So, I mean, I suppose that the second part of your question, to think that it doesn't get the press it deserves. Obviously, everyone is quite aware of what Instagram is and what it does. But I think the way a lot of people are using it, the way certainly I've seen a lot of people using it, is kind of using it as a billboard to kind of constantly paste up offers or be kind of quite salesy. I think when you kind of learn to master that and when you learn to incorporate it into your kind of onboarding funnel, then it can be very, very effective.
So it's more about interesting content than it is about buy, buy, buy.
I think it's more about creating a relationship with your customer, you know, like profiling them and working out exactly what works for them, what they actually want to see, and kind of mastering that. And it's, I mean, the analytics that you can do with it as well, you know, to kind of track what people are doing, like how people respond to your content, then it's a really good way to kind of not only build a relationship with the customer, but kind of give them what they want.
Excellent. Well, then the tool top tip next. This might be a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient day to day?
So I like to keep it really simple. My workflows are all a process of Google Docs and like very like Zendesk. Zapier is probably the most interesting thing I use, which is, you know, whereas Zapier, it's an API system which basically connects pretty much any application to any other application, so it's really, really handy where they don't have kind of native integration with other platforms. Aside from that, in terms of communication, Slack is fantastic to kind of replace email, to communicate better, to keep track of everything, share files. That's every day for me now, Slack.
loads of great tool tips in that little section. So I hope you've all been scribbling. We'll definitely have links to all of those in the show notes, which is at ecommercemasterplan.com/76. But we've got one last top tips question, which is your startup top tip. If you met someone this weekend who's thinking of starting an e-commerce business, what would be your first tip for them?
So this actually happened to me the other day. I was speaking to somebody here in Spain who was doing exactly this. So and my top tip was to go for a premium product and not to undercut. So this guy was actually setting up a language kind of intercambio thing. So for learning languages via Skype, and his kind of relatively new to the market approach was going to be to undercut the competition and to kind of make it cheap, cheap, cheap. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I mean, what I've learned over the past 6 months since we last spoke is that once you have a valuable customer who's willing to pay, especially if it's something like self-improvement, language learning, they're willing to spend more money for a better product. And I think the way you'll inevitably end up if you try and undercut the competition and create a cheap product and sell it low and fast is having to cut corners yourself and therefore having to compromise your product. So I'd say always be build premium and provide a better service rather than undercut the competition.
It's a lot more funny. It's a lot more enjoyable building a business where there's enough margin to go around than one when you're constantly chasing every penny.
Precisely, yeah.
Okay, well, Masterplan World, you can find all of those and everything else we've been chatting about at ecommercemasterplan.com/76, including Dave's last interview, if you haven't yet caught up with that one. So, Dave, before we say goodbye, would you like to let the listeners know where they can find out about you and Lick My Dip on the web even, and on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to dave.rothero.co, then you can, that's my own personal website. There's a list of projects that I'm doing at the moment. Including a few upcoming social media strategy kind of courses and stuff, which I'm going to be setting up. And also
awesome.
There's links to, yeah.
I'm now glad we didn't dive too much into Instagram because I'm assuming one of those courses is going to be helping people with Instagram.
Precisely that. That's going to be the first one. So.
Excellent. Well, Everyone head over to, was it dave.rothero.co?
That's right.
To check that one out.
Yeah, and then Lick My Dip, Google us, so you can find us at lickmydip.com, cheeseposties.com as well. And then, yeah, Lick My Dip, if you use the code MASTERPLAN, then you can get £5 off on your first Ultimate Box if you'd like to try us out.
Excellent. Well, there's a great offer for everybody, especially as we're getting quite close to Christmas. Gift time. £5 off with the code MASTERPLAN, wasn't it? All one word.
That's right, yeah.
Marvellous. Well, thank you very much for all of that, Dave. That's awesome. We'll add links to all of that, including the code and everything else we talked about today in the show notes. Masterplan World, you can find all of that at ecommercemasterplan.com/76, or just go to the website, click on the podcast tab, or use the search box. Dave, thank you so much for being on the show again and continuing to bring us a huge pile of great tips and advice and ideas for how to grow our businesses. So thank you.
No worries at all.
Well, another great interview with Dave Rothero there. Loads of great advice around how to get your customers really, really engaged so they keep buying. How to get them to spend more with that upgraded box, so the product changes he's been making. And also some great insights there into the whole kind of blogger outreach process. You know, so look and analyze those who ask for review content, look out for those who you want to review, and also make sure that be aware that for some of the larger players, you're going to need to be able to offer them an affiliate commission to get onto their platforms. I'm sorry I didn't ask him many questions about Instagram. So it's great to know he's got a course coming up on the Instagram front. But you know, we've covered Instagram on a couple of podcasts lately. So I wanted to explore some of the other areas with Dave. So I hope you don't mind that. If you do, then let me know and we'll see what we could do about it. I'm sure there's something I can do about it. Anyway, if you've Dave obviously mentioned my brand new book, Customer Manipulation, within the interview, and how he's been working on that one and using that to grow his business using my Customer Master Plan model. If you want to get the very first chapter of that for free, it's available at customermanipulation.com right now. Have a great week, everyone. Come back next week to hear Rob Wing, the Cornish fishmonger, giving us some great ideas for customer service amongst other insights into the wild and wonderful world of selling fish online. And don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com.